There we go. Roundtree goes to conference.
I think that's about Randy.
Yeah, Randy.
Going to, taking the report to the president. He was by here the other day, and I was telling him about you being over here. He was laughing about the fact that when he went to the, he was on crutches. He was on crutches, and they didn't want him to wear the crutches, in the picture.
I said,
that's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's a lot of, that's Girl Scout and Boy Scout. And
that's good.
A little bit of everything.
You never know what you run across on these things.
I don't know what these are, I promise you.
Look like. Let's see what proof it is. Troop 1 in 1962.
Yeah.
Boy, you had...
See, I had 149 members one time.
I was going to say, this is...
And the 60 Jamboree, see, we had 48 kids went to that. We had our own patrol.
Our own troop?
Yeah. And worked out...
When was this?
1960.
1960 Jamboree?
Yeah. Now this, I don't know what all this is. This is just a bunch of stuff about, merit badges and courts of honor.
Voices of Worth and Court of Honor.
And,
Scoutmaster's Copy, 1957, Twin Mountains Troop 1. They're using old mimeograph machines. I wonder, were these when they were having the old district courts of honor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were.
I vaguely remember as a kid going to the courthouse to get my award. What do you remember about district courts of honor?
Well, see, the first courts of honor they had here were in the courthouse. And they had the scout office here. The first one they had was in the courthouse. And then they moved it down there to the ventilator building, and but I got my eagle at the courthouse in 1928.
Well, here's Dick Wyatt, Silver Award application to registration service.
Yeah, that's we had a explorer post and a scout troop together.
Well, here's Bob Buettner,
Buettner,
Silver Explorer Award.
Yeah. Worked real good because most of these kids that were in the post were the leaders in our troop, and it worked real good together. And
Post 1. I noticed you got some merit badges back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Here you are getting nature, farm layout, farm home and its planning, machinery, and hiking.
Yeah.
You mean you were an adult before you got your hiking merit badge?
Oh, God.
Same.
Well, most of the time when I was getting these badges or working on them, I was working with the kids in the troop,
Right.
And
getting the same time.
Well, we'd find out that a bunch of kids needed, say, maybe hiking or nature or something, and I'd work with them. And as a result, we had a lot of kids that did a lot of advancement.
Here, February the 10th, 1955, you received your second bronze Eagle Palm. How many merit badges did you end up earning?
Oh, I don't know, 40-something.
God, you did a lot better than I did. I think I ended up with 32, something like that. Mike Henson, Eagle Scout.
That's when we had a court of honor, and I think... I'm not sure whether we had a kid that got an eagle or not in there.
Well, he had been a member of Troop 333, sponsored by Westside Rotary Club.
Yeah.
District Camporee, 200 Boy Scouts, Twin Mountain District, Klondike Derby Camporee at Dry Creek Park near North Concho Lake.
Yeah, they had a... It was based on the, you know, stuff like you'd use up in the Klondikes, fire building, and they had a sled race, and you know, all kinds of good junk like that.
When were these held? Do you remember?
Usually in the summertime. I mean, I don't have a month.
These aren't dated. This, I was looking at the letters around it, and they're all dated 1969.
No,
I don't know what order you put these things in.
No order. Just mass confusion.
Yeah. How did you keep your scrapbooks? Did you do it all at one time?
No,
put
just,
them all
no,
in
just through the years.
Just keep it through the years. Here's the recognition dinner. 30 scout and leaders receive recognition. Twin Mountain Scouted Recognition Day will have Friday in San Angelo Central High School Cafeteria. Trent McClung will serve as commissioner. Dr. Hader.
Yeah.
I remember Dr. Hader. Wasn't he a member of St. Luke's United Methodist Church?
Yeah, he had three boys. They were all in the troop.
Officers elected included Ken Epley. This had to be fairly recent.
No, it's not recent.
Eldon Call. Well, I recognize most of these names.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
makes it seem.
Kalk was from El Dorado, and he got in all that trouble down there where he was a druggist, and he was selling kids dope. And you know, he had a boy named Buddy Kalk that was real active in scouts.
All right, now help me date this. You received your 35-year veteran pin.
Let's see.
How many years have you now?
60-something.
All right, 60 and 35.
I joined Scouts in 1926 when they first started this council, so it'd be about in the 50s sometime. I don't know.
Yeah. 70, 80, 90. Well, let's see, 35. You never did drop registration?
Well, I did. I did there for a while after I left Angelo. That was in the 30s, see?
Yeah.
And I was gone from Angelo from 1930 to 1943. But during that time, I had a scout troop in Seagraves, Texas. And also, I worked with a scout troop in the church in Longview.
First Presbyterian?
Yeah, I believe it was. There's a big church right downtown.
Well, there's a Methodist church downtown, and which is Troop 201. I remember Marcus Henderson. James Tarter?
Yeah. You know, his dad's a professor out here at the college, or was for years and years. He's retired now. Jim Tarter. And Jim still lives here.
What happened to Marcus Henderson? I remember the name, and now I can't place it to save my life.
Now, there was a Henderson that worked for the fire department for years and years and years, but I believe that was Robert. He's still here. And they gave those things to the kids at the
Jamboree.
At the Jamboree, and you were supposed to, you know, fill them out.
Right.
And
I got something similar to this Jamboree. I'm leaving Sunday week to go to the Jamboree.
Oh, you are? You going to work up there?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the staff.
Yeah.
And in Subcamp 16. And there are several from this council that are going to be on that staff. Now, here's the
Indians.
That's when I painted tents.
That's when I painted the tent.
Did you use the Indian theme that year?
No, I did in 1960.
This is the fourth National Jamboree.
Well, now that was 53, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, I painted the tent that I was going to stay in. I painted that Indian on there.
Okay.
But the rest of them, I painted animals. Stinging scorpions, rattlesnakes, bobcats, deer, owls. Antelope, I paid that on there in 53.
That's at Valley Forge. Mm-hmm. You know, they only had two jamborees at Valley Forge.
I thought they had three.
Did they?
See, I went to two of them.
I went to the 50.
Well, I went
that
to,
was the first one at Valley
right.
Forge.
They had one in 53 and 57.
So they had three at Valley Forge.
Uh-huh. Well, wait a minute. They had another one, too, in 64.
I didn't realize they'd had that many at Valley Forge.
And,
gosh, you look young in this picture.
I was. Yeah.
A lot younger than you are today. Yeah. Oh, lousy Scout Jamboree. All right, here's July 12. 7/12/57 Scout Jamboree underway.
That's at Valley Forge.
What can you remember about that jamboree? Anything?
Well, quite a lot. We had our troop was camped real close to the big memorial arch, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I never will forget there was a troop that was camped not too far from us, and our kids had been hobnobbing with them for days. And finally, one of my kids came to me very excited. He said, "Did you know all the kids in that troop are blind?" And they had one kid in each patrol that could see, and the rest of them, you know, were all blind. And it was really something. I told the kids, I said, "Now see, you just didn't realize that what blind kids could do." Now this may all be the jamboree.
It is, and it looks like it may be the jamboree newsletter. I don't think our local paper would have put this much stuff in.
Well, they used to put a lot of stuff in there, but, you know, they got where they just... seemed like to me we always needed a guy that would help get our name in the paper more.
Yeah. Well, here's a... well, this is all this paper.
Well, that's standard time.
Yeah, I was going to say, on Jamboree. Jamboree Scouts get royal send-off.
Yeah.
There may be a lot of those in the paper on that.
Well, see, this is all came out of the paper.
Yeah, but...
I'm pretty sure.
Well, let's see. Look at the ads here.
Yeah, those...
this is Pennsylvania ads here.
Yeah.
So that came out of the Jamboree Bulletin. You know, they had a newspaper at the Jamboree.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This came out of the local paper. I think this came out of the Jamboree paper.
You know, my wife and our two daughters and her sister and nephew were going to Boston to visit their brother. And they came by the Jamboree, and I was scared to death because they told me the next day they were going. I mean, that day they were going. They came by real early one morning, and they were going up the Pennsylvania Turnpike and the New Jersey Turnpike, and I was scared to death. And they'd been gone about 3 hours, I guess. I was trying to get the stuff ready because we were getting ready to move everything down to Washington, D.C. We're going to spend several days down there.
Yes.
And they called me, said, "We've got a telegram for you down at the headquarters down here, the sectional headquarters." Well, I just knew that there's a telegram telling me they'd all been killed in an automobile wreck. And I went down there, and I couldn't find the telegram. They said, "Well, we didn't know where you were, and we sent it over to the main headquarters." And I said, "Okay." So I started out, and the guy said, "Here, let me take you over there in a Jeep. We'll save some time." And got over there. They said, "No," said, "we knew you weren't here, so we sent it back." By that time, I was just going bonkers. Got back over there, and they couldn't find the telegram. And I said, "Well, I've got to leave because we've got to get on the train and going down to Washington, D.C. And I said, "I've got to go with the kids." And we were on the train, and we'd been on the train about 45 minutes, and they came to me and handed me this telegram, and I'll tell you what, I spent a long time waiting to open it, and when I opened it, it was a congratulatory thing from Lyndon B. Johnson about being scoutmaster.
Yeah.
I said, if I could have got my hand on it, I'd have killed him right there.
Oh, I bet you would have.
That's taken down our scout cabin.
Yeah, it was right in front. It looked like y'all at one time took pictures of all the patrols.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
Tour permit. Doesn't say where you went, though. Ooh, here you are. Man of the year. 66.
I like Valley Forge. For the very fact of the historical, you know, stuff that was around there.
Yes.
And
there's a kid on crutches.
That's Randy. Randy Rantree.
Yeah, Randy Rantree, Junior Assistant Scoutmaster.
Yeah.
I remember Randy for some reason.
Well, he's a doctor here now.
That's probably where I remember him.
He was, his whole family, he had an older brother that was in our troop, and then he had two sisters, and they were real big in Girl Scouts. One of his sisters is a professor at Syracuse University, and the other one has retired, and they live here now.
Hmm.
And
have you been successful in getting any of the former scouts involved in scouting?
Well, Randy's involved in scouting. He's on the, I've forgotten what deal he's on, then I've had several kids that got, you know, got their eagle, and I mean got had the scoutmaster. I mean they became scoutmasters and helped with the troop. What that is?
That looks like a sonnet.
Sonnet. Oh, that yeah, group. That kid died here last year.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Parents of the Embry Scouts.
And that's a bunch that went to Philmont.
Philmont, this
yeah.
group?
Yeah.
New Mexico, they went in 69.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see the August. Yeah, August. Philmont. All right, Mike. Is that yeah. Reese Albert's related?
There's Barry Roundtree. That's the older Reese Albert. Yeah, that's
Mike Albert.
That's Mike Albert. Yeah, that's
Randy Roundtree. Yeah. I mean Randy Holdridge.
Holdridge. Yeah.
Holdridge.
Randy is the superintendent of a very prestigious boys camp or deal in California.
Gosh, they sort of went. Craig Warner, was that Bob Warner's
yeah,
son?
Yeah, he lives in Austin. He was up here the other day. His sister got married.
Is Bob still here? Isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
I used to see him all the time out at the mall.
Well, he lives over at the Rio Concho Manor.
Oh, he does?
Uh-huh.
He gave me a lot of information on the Art of the Arrow here.
Yeah.
When I was doing the history of that council. I mean, of the OA here. Round Tree doesn't have a D in it, does it?
No.
Bill Baker.
Yeah.
And Bill Eckhart. Eckhart.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be the world's worst person for pronunciation of names.
Well, I'll tell you, the way they spell stuff nowadays, you can't. Now, this is a deal here where we went to, I believe that's the one, where they wanted us to go out. Yeah, they wanted us to go out. They were going to have this piece in the paper, and we went out to Camp Lewis Farr.
Oh, this is the
out.
One, yeah, and it rained
oh,
the
yeah,
day before.
It froze, man. It just froze solid. And
5,100 and scattered. Troop 81.
That's our Girl Scout troop.
Okay. Troop 81. This wasn't a Girl Scout troop.
No, that's when we... That's first,
Childwell Summers Canoe
that's
Place.
That's the first trip I made up there.
What did you think of Childwell Summers Canoe
Bay? I like it very, very much. And these kids here were in my group. This is me, and this is the... this kid and this one had been up there the year before. They were all... This is Dr. Eckert's
son.
No, Irvine. Dr. Irvine's son. This is Jim Rich. This is Mark McGar. And, but we had a real good deal up there.
Right.
This old boy here, his folks were in the, they were in the banking business, and we really enjoyed being, he studied, when we were up there, he carried, I'll bet you, 40 pounds of books on his back.
On the trip?
Yeah, and...
hard enough with the canoes and stuff.
The year before that, he had made a trip to Europe and followed the trail of the Crusades, one of the Crusades. And,
okay, 11 Boy Scouts, the largest ever in San Angelo from Twin Mountain District, awarded Eagle Awards in the District Court of Honor at Lee Junior High School Thursday. I wonder what year that was. Mark Goldberg, Steve Weaver, Robert Wood, Gary Allen, Tom Allen, Glenn Burleson, Jerry Ruiz, Glenn DeFreese, Mike Cates, Steve Cates, Larry Cates.
Those three kids were in my troop, and that was the first time they'd had three boys from one family get their eagle at the same time. So when JB was announcing the deal, the little one I can't remember which one he was, but anyway, he was saying, JB said, wasn't it nice that his two older brothers waited for him to finish his eagle so they all get them together? And boy, he piped up and he said, what do you mean? I got mine before they got theirs. And then one time, our troop had 12 boys get their eagle at one time.
12 from the same troop?
Yeah.
Gee.
And
I bet that hadn't happened in a long time.
No, in fact, I don't think it's ever happened again.
Getting these names down. What I can do is go look up the...
Now, this kid right here, I believe he's the one. I had three boys in my family, in our troop from the Goldberg family, and all three got their eagle, and all three of them got their near Tommy, you know, religious award.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron, the oldest one of the three, he's a lawyer here. But I can't remember whether it's this boy or his brother was quite a musician. In fact, he teaches at the Juilliard School of Music in New York City.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he's quite a musician.
General Crawford to attend banquet. Citizen of the Year, 65-66, Coach Emory Bellard.
Ballard.
You got it one year and he got it one year?
Well, I presented it to him the next year.
The next year.
We went to a meeting, see, and they asked us to make recommendations as to who we thought should get the award, and that was the year that the Bobcats won the state championship. And I made a deal that they would give it to the team. Well, they got it confused and thought I meant Emory Ballard. So Emory got the award, and they, at the banquet, they told them that it included all the kids on the team, too.
Now, here's Roundtree. Randy Roundtree, he and four of the scouts from the three-state area will meet with judges and Royal Coach Inn in Dallas. And there they will be one of the five finalists of Region 7 be chosen to represent the report to the Boy Scouts.
That's the one where he went down to the deal and they picked him. We were lucky through the years. We had two boys that were finalists in the report to the president. One of them was John Pitkin. He was the runner-up in
Now, is that Raymond Pitkin's son?
Yeah, Raymond is in the nursing home out here.
Is he?
And Randy Roundtree.
Gas to improve facilities at the cabin.
That's where Ronald Reagan was governor.
Governor Ronald Reagan, he worked for kids 30 years. Buddy Wineman.
Yeah.
I wonder when that would have been. I know he worked at Menard City Pool for years.
Yeah, that's right. And then he, of course, he was down at camp for years and years and years. And
I used to go by and see Mrs. Wineman in town.
Yeah.
When I'd go to camp every summer, I'd make it a point to take some of the scouts and go in and visit her at her house.
Well, after Buddy died, she moved up to Cleburne, I believe it was. She stayed up there until she died. But used to, when I'd go to camp, I'd always have a kid or two that would get homesick, and I'd send them up to Avery's, and she'd take care of them. She'd put them to work up there, you know, with making cookies and all kinds of stuff, and they'd stay in camp. They wouldn't go home. Somebody said, well, they didn't get much out of camp. I said, yeah, but they'd have gone home the next day if it hadn't been for Avery.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they got a lot of stuff on Roundtree.
Yeah, right.
Here is the report to the state on February the 10th. Mm-hmm. I guess in 64. Looks like, I don't know, here's a deal in 57. No date on that letter. Well, let's see, Randy Roundtree, report to state. And that would have had to been February 10th.
I was pretty lucky. Through the years, I had 11 or 12 different boys that were chosen to take the report to the, you know, to the governor.
Yeah.
And
well, and a lot of that had to do with that you had some pretty super kids in that
well,
period
of
the year.
I sure did. I had. People are always saying that I did such a great job. I told them, I said, man, I had some great kids. And when we had all those kids in the troop had 149. See, I didn't have a scoutmaster or assistant, but I had some good kids that had come up through the troop.
Yeah.
And
that'd help.
Man, that cabin down there was designed for 32 boys. And,
well, you had more than 32 in it all.
Oh,
time.
Gosh.
And, been down
and
there.
When they had that 149 in there, John Pipkin went up to the before the Board of Review for his Eagle.
Yeah.
And they were questioning him about his what he did in the troop in the way of leadership. And he's told them he was a patrol leader. And they asked him how many boys he had his patrol. And he said, 27. And they said, no, not in your troop, in your patrol. He said, that's what I have. Now that's where.
Dan Marie pictures.
And these are all the Smith boys, and then these are some pictures taken at the bar mitzvah.
65.
There's Buddy.
Yeah, sure is. That's on a postcard, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
1961 Jamboree. I think if this is the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I think it is. No, it's Hemp Hill Wells.
Brady Church.
No, this is Hemp Hill Wells. So that was
Standard Times, October the 13th, 1968. Well, I wonder if it's got anything in it on Scout. Been here for reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Set aside the tent, traveler's home. 4-H awards. Lunch at Edison.
I may have kept that because of this fire department colorful history.
History thing, that yeah. Probably was it.
When scouting was first started here, the fire department was up there on the parking lot where Northwest Bank is now. And the fire chief used to always, now this is some more pictures when we went out.
Yeah, when it rained.
Yeah. And
yeah, is that one of the newsletters?
Yeah.
Bulletin, August 1960. I wonder if there are a bunch of those down at the office.
I don't know. They probably threw them all away.
Well, you're probably right. Court of Honor in 59. Lee Horton got his life.
He's still here. Real active in scouts.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, who's, what is he working with now?
I guess probably still with Troop 1.
Troop 1?
Yeah. His boys, well, this old Stu Hawkins and me, I was showing him the
Stu? Is that Stu?
Yeah. The Jamboree tents.
Yeah. Club,
and they had a big deal over there, and we had put up all the tents that I had painted.
Six National Jamboree.
On frames, and I was showing Steve the one with the Roadrunner, and I don't know, I haven't seen Steve, and I don't know when. He lives down there. You know,
Cherokee.
And well, I've done it close to Bend, you know.
Yeah, Cherokee. I've been down there. He was president of Lions Club there.
Yeah.
And I'd go to see him at the Lions Club meeting. I'd go there to be a speaker, and he'd be there, and we'd shoot the breeze. And he was doing all right last time I saw him, but that's been a couple of years ago. We'll leave here July 12th. Next month, San Angelo's Boy Scouts attended Valley Forge. Next month, displayed Thursday's tents they will use at the huge camp. Henderson painted Texas scene on the tent so the San Angelos can give boys to the country. The nature scenes include skunks, tarantulas, rattlesnakes, buffaloes, turtles, roadrunners, jackrabbits, and other West Texas animals. 111 West Texas boys in 23 county area leave here July 12th. What year was that? Valley Forge?
Well,
doesn't say which jamboree. Jamboree will be staged July 17th to the 23rd.
Well, that sounds kind of like that.
64,
1960
maybe?
Jamboree. I don't know.
Or 64. I noticed this letter dated 64. Say.
Who's that from?
Well, can't be a boy. It's in pink paper. It's a big girl. Love, Vivian.
Oh.
Have you seen the whites?
Well, that's probably very badly forged because Milt was on the staff up there.
Okay.
They had moved to Metuchen, New Jersey after he left here.
Let's see, Stu Hawkins. Hawkins Jr. Now that was his son, wasn't it?
Well, no.
Or was that Stu?
I think that's Stu.
He was assistant scoutmaster of San Angelo Jamboree Troop. Okay. Hope you're having a good trip.
Hmm. That was when I was...
West Supply Company.
Selected the most, the friendliest salesman in town, you know.
Yeah.
And,
gosh, you were always friendly to me when I went to, what was that, B&W? What was the name of that company that you worked for?
Well, I worked for West Supply and then worked for VW. B&W out there at the, you know, that's all Jamboree stuff
there.
Yeah,
that's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, but maybe this would this be part of that Jamboree?
The 6th Boy Scout Jamboree.
Yeah. I bet that's the same, 1964.
Yeah, that's the one at Valley Forge.
Okay, that's the one the tents were painted for.
Yeah.
Jamboree Journal. You got a lot of neat stuff here. You know that? Vince Hawes was scout executive. Decided they didn't want to go to Camp Fawcett for the shakedown camp. You're going to have to go sit down, lay down?
No, I'm just going to move my feet around.
Did you go to the 64 Jamboree?
Yeah, I went to the 53, 57, 60, and 64.
Here's a coin for that Jamboree.
Yeah, that's where they gave us the Continental Dollar, I think it was, or something like that.
Here's the campfire of Region 9. You must have been on the program or put it together.
Well, I was the master of ceremonies, man. Got to introduce Horace Cartwright and Ben Cartwright and Anita Bryant and Bob Feller.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Gosh, that was neat. Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Trying to see if there are any local stores in here on that Jamboree.
Well, now that's all, I think, Jamboree, you know, that stuff, that Jamboree, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of that stuff.
And here's some more of those pictures of our troop on camp, on that camp thing last time.
Here's something. That looks local.
Yeah, that's that picture.
That's the one, the 44th anniversary one. That's February the 5th, 54.
This kid is still here. This kid is a doctor. This kid is, let's see, he worked in Dallas, and that was taken up in front of the courthouse up there.
Yeah. This was the, okay, I have seen this one on microfilm. Splash Derby held it. Hey, you got dates on this stuff. What happened?
I must have slipped.
Boy Scout Splash Day.
Yeah, I must have slipped on
it. Oh, but it's more fun when you have to look for it, JT. I looked through 3 months of microfilm.
Oh, God, that's a tiresome.
Didn't find a single scout album. And that, I was getting real discouraged. Here's another one. 210-58, Court of Honor. That's, I know these two kids. Benny Daugherty and Carl Wiedenfeld.
Yeah. Now, Carl, didn't you say you heard from him every once in a while?
I haven't heard from him. I hear from him through his brother, David.
Well, I've corresponded with David, but I never have corresponded with Carl. The last
Carl
I heard,
does not write.
He was doing, he down close to Houston or something?
Yes, he lives in Houston, and he's supposed to be getting married in September. I've written him.
Yeah?
Hadn't heard word one from him.
Oh, is that...
Stanley Alford, that's mayor of Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Robardo.
You know, that was one of the most embarrassing things I ever had happen. He came down here for a meeting, and we were having a big court of honor out at ASU.
Yes.
And he was going to present the kids with their eagle. Well, the Order of the Arrow had put on this big thing, and they had taken all the white lights out of the floodlights and
put colored
put in blue and red and made it kind of dark. And Stan couldn't see worth a darn. And when it came time for him to pin the eagle badge on his mother, you know, with a little pin,
yes,
he dropped it. And here we were down on our hands and knees trying to find the thing. We never did find it. Mr. Bartle just stood there and kind of grinned, you know.
He'd probably been through that before.
Wonder what he thought about that. God.
Now, this is another deal. That those were those pictures.
Yeah.
That y'all did in the rain.
Yeah, we were doing the...
Wonder what ever happened to that bird, you know.
I think finally it just kind of, you know, disintegrated.
For years and years.
Yeah.
With the realistic stuff, I know who has it. Well, Delahunty down at U-Valley has a bird in his back room. He was going to redo it for us, and he never...
Well, see, we had a bald eagle down at our scout cabin that we almost got in trouble over it because I had a guy come in one time to check, and he found out we'd had this eagle, and it had been given to our troop by a kid's dad who was a game warden, and he put his little bar or thing on there, and he told us that if anybody ever comes to question you on this, then just show them this. So I took the guy down there and showed him things that okay. And but I had a whole bald eagle that was mounted on this, you know, looked like a limb sticking out from a tree. And
Mark Austin, that rings a bell.
Yeah, he's had three boys, Mark and I can't think of their names in the troop. And all three of them got their eagle. And Mark, the last I heard, was in the Navy.
Well, that's what this shows, that he was in the Navy.
But his dad still has a repair shop here where he does all kinds of painting. Then he had a brother that worked with his dad, and then the other boy, I don't know whatever happened to him.
Hmm. Team Cook, old-timer, 1910-1985. That was a Jubilee Jamboree, too. Randy Holdridge, God and Country Pen. Are these things that never got to the kids?
Well, I think I maybe got a couple of extra ones.
Extra one?
Yeah. And then I have some stuff in there. This stuff right here came from Italy. That was where we helped that troop over there to get started.
Yeah, Ernesto Barbo, an Italian scout.
Ernesto Barbo, yeah.
Sent camping supplies, helped a Boy Scout troop in Sardi at Sondalio.
Sondalo, Italy.
S-O-N-D-A-L-O.
That was kind of an interesting thing. This young fellow, Ernesto Barbo, had been a scout at the 1950 World Jamboree. Wasn't it in something Austria?
Yeah.
Okay. When he went back home to Italy, they found out that he had tuberculosis, so they sent him to this tuberculosis sanatorium, which was mainly for kids up at Sondalo, Italy. He got up there, and he found out that the kids were kind of bored and everything, so he decided he wanted to start a scout troop. Well, he couldn't figure out what to do to get some help. He picked out San Angelo because he thought it had an Italian-sounding name. And he wrote to the Boy Scouts of America at San Angelo, Texas. One day they called me and asked me if I'd like to come down there. They had a letter that I thought I might be interested in, and I said, sure. I went down, and through a long series of letters, I found out what they wanted and what they needed. They said they could get uniforms. One of the things that I laughed about was that they said that he said that the boys would really like to have labor pants.
Labor pants.
And I thought, what in the devil is labor pants? Well, I found out it's blue jeans.
Blue jeans. Is that what they called them?
That's right. And we got their sizes and everything. We sent them blue jeans. We sent them tents. We sent them camping equipment. Well, I'll tell you what, we had 11 foot lockers full of stuff to send them, and then we found out something, how we were going to get it over there. And they had a colonel out here at the base that had just, he'd been the military attaché at the embassy in Rome.
Yes.
And he said, send it to my friend down there, General so-and-so, I can't even think of his name. I said, tell him what you need to do, because from Rome to Sondalo was several hundred miles. And so he said, if you'll just send it to my APO address, that all you'll have to do is pay the pay the freight on it from here to New York, and that's what we did. We sent it up there, and they sent a sergeant and two GIs from Rome to Sundalo.
To take that stuff.
And there's an article in there that tells about it, and they named their troop the Lone Star Troop in honor of, you know, the Texas kids.
Yes.
And, but it...
Yeah, I wonder if that troop's still going.
Well, I don't know. I expect Ernesto is middle-aged by now.
Here's that story on that Will Bartle.
Yeah, he was quite a leader.
Yeah, I heard Robardo talk several times. Of course, he was active with Alpha Omega.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that I was in college, he was the president, and he came to Austin, and we went out to Camp Tom Booton and talked. The guy weighed 300 pounds.
I know it. He was huge.
Let's see. Dropped. I'm going to write this down. Dropped. Mother's Pen.
Yeah.
Let's see, OA, colored lights.
We had.
Did y'all ever find the pen?
Oh, finally, JB said, "We'll just come down to the office tomorrow, and I'll give you another one." But I always wondered what Roe Bartle thought about us. You know, here we were. I was down on my hands and knees. JB was down on his hands and knees. Stan was down on his hands and knees, and his mother was looking around to be sure she didn't step on the pen. And I always thought, I bet he thought those West Texas hicks.
West Texas hicks, K-N. I got to learn how to spell.
Well, he was very active in scouting, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was a scout executive and then became mayor of Kansas City, and I don't know how he became a millionaire. That was whether he inherited, whether he made it. But he supported Alpha Omega out of his hip pocket for years when they were getting started.
Oh, this is when I'm retiring.
Yeah, I've got that. here's old. That's not Mark Barger, is it?
Yeah, it sure is. Mark Barger and Beaver McManus and the whole bunch. Now, I think Mark is up. Doesn't he work up close to Dallas-Fort Worth?
Yeah.
Like the Ling, Tim Cobalt, or somebody? He and his brother both work up there.
You got several copies of that. Everybody in the dog must have sent you. Here's the deal on the road again. All right. Gee. Slow going today.
Hi there.
Hi. Now, one of these was all Girl Scout stuff, wasn't it? Or did I look
at that? Well, I think I took it. I took it and I think I took it out of there.
Okay. New Eagle Scouts.
Yeah, look at there. Even got a date on it.
Yeah, February the 10th of 67. You know what's interesting is when I go back over these notes and try to read them sometime and say, now, why did I write that down?
Right. I know what you mean. It's like me, I'll put up something and leave myself a note, and then I'll wonder why I left the note, you know?
Yes. Now here's 66, Dr. something Roundtree.
Yeah, Dr. Wiley Roundtree took a crew of our kids on the Philmont.
In July of 66.
Yeah. We laughed because Barry Roundtree, his son, that Randy's older brother, had huge feet. I bet he wore a size 16. And I was working down there at West Supply, and we had ordered him boots, you know, to take on the Philmont trek.
Right.
Every day, his mother would call, one of his boots came in, and they finally decided we weren't going to get him in. So he left, and the day after they left, his boots came in, and his mother said, "Do you think we ought to send them to him?" And I said, "Well, no, he needs to break them in." So he he hiked all over Philmont wearing tennis shoes. So I said, it doesn't make all that much difference, see.
Well, Hinkle Lodge, 67th period. David Horton of Uvalde. According to Cody, John Bob Cody, lodge chief.
Mm-hmm.
Today ordeal. 65 members and 110 candidates for membership met Wednesday at Camp Saul Meyer. That would have been done in the summer. Buddy Wyman of Menard, Camp Ranger at Saul Meyer, and John C. Smith, Scoutmaster of Del Rio, accompanied the OA members to an area conference. Won the Kent Riley Award. See, I can go back to my OA stuff, 1968.
Okay. Well, I tell you, the worst deal I ever saw in the OA was that's when they were letting each troop elect 10% of their candidate, you know, their troop candidates.
Yeah.
We went out here to Camp Lewis Four, and we had 270 candidates. And it started raining, and of course they had to all stay in the big dining hall out there. God, it was hard.
Mm-hmm. Here's where you board the bus for Canadian trip in 1965. Scout, Boy Scouts and Explorers, West Texas, left San Angelo to Ely, Minnesota. Advisors, Jerry Greenwood of Ballinger, Gene Hinder to Robert Lee, and Cluis Hansen of Del Rio will board another train for Duluth, Minnesota. Boy, that's a pretty good-sized group of kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, this is two crews here, isn't it?
Yeah.
The first year we went up there, Philip Robbins and I, and they had a couple of other guys, and we were going to take three crews. Right about 3 days before we were to leave, two of these guys who were stationed out here at Goodfellow Field and down at Laughlin got transferred, and there we were left with all those kids. So we decided we could take them anyway, and we took, Philip had 15 or 16 in his bunch, and I had 15 in mine, and we made it all right, but it was bad because so many of those places on that Charles L. Summers canoe base, when you go camping, you didn't have enough room for that many tents.
Yeah, well, some of those places were very,
very
small.
Very, very small, yeah. And
this is all in the 60s here. Salvation Army. First Methodist Church. Scout Sunday. Here's some Eagles. Russell Lee Morrison, Jimmy Smith, Harmon Lohman III, and Gary Browning. You recognize any of those men?
Yeah. Three of them, I think, were in our troop. Gary Brown and Harmon Lohman and whoever that other one was.
Jimmy Smith.
Oh, Jimmy Smith, yeah.
And Gary Brown. Five Eagles. Gosh, you got a lot of Eagles award stuff.
Through the years, we had 162.
In the troop?
Yeah. And there's where kids getting his religious award in the Catholic Church. We had
Bob John Kaminsky. That's Bob Kaminsky's son.
Yeah.
I mean, son, brother. McAfee.
We had boys from 10 different denominations get their award in our troop. One of the darndest ones was the Church of Christ. This kid got his religious award in the Church of Christ, and they wouldn't let us present it to him in the sanctuary.
That has changed over the years. John Clardy down at Lomita is now head of the Church of Christ Religious Awards Committee, and they've changed a lot of stuff. They've said, here's an award being presented posthumously.
Yeah, that's the...
See, the Eagle Scout Award on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. L.B. Horton, Jr.
That was Jimmy Horton.
Jimmy Horton, who was a member of Troop 1.
He was patrol leader of the Buffalo Patrol, and he died, and he had completed his Eagle, and had completed everything for his God and country. All the kids in his patrol, he had about 10 kids in his patrol, they all made a vow that they would get their Eagle in memory of Jimmy, and every one of them did.
And here's his church award being presented at a church service posthumously.
Yeah, that was one of the
December the 18th.
One of the worst things I ever went through in my life. Of course, Lee Horton's dad and I had been in scouts together when we were kids. He was in Troop 7 and I was in Troop 2. But we were members of the exhibition troop, and his older brother, Bomer, was a member of the exhibition troop. LB and I grew up, well, we lived next door to them, and we played on the same baseball team. I pitched, and this friend of ours caught, and he played first base. But it was really a sad thing.
So how did he die?
He died with sleeping sickness.
Sleeping sickness?
Yeah, very, very...
He died sudden?
Very suddenly.
Well, you know, I remember riding up of that funeral that y'all marched in when you were a kid. And
oh, yeah. That was, Irby Lee Jackson, I believe.
Yeah.
That's where he lived. Not too far from me, and he and his friend were down there, and they had this little dog, and they kept throwing it in the river, and the little dog kind of got in some trouble, and they thought he wasn't going to be able to make it out, and this Irby Lee jumped in to save the dog. He couldn't swim, and he drowned. Well, that's Carl Koshak. He flies for American Airlines.
Does he really?
Yeah. He lives in Dallas. He was quite a kid. That's where we did the king size, Texas size knot time.
The scout circus.
Yeah, we had that rope was 85 feet long, and it was about 3 inches in diameter. JB got it for us out there in the oil field.
Yeah.
And we did, this is a very round tree, I believe, here.
Okay.
And we did Texas size knot time.
Angelo Boy Scout Leaders. I wonder when this was written up. C.A. McDonald.
Yeah.
J.T. Henderson is a 25-year veteran. Sid Stevenson. This is the first in a series of weekly picture groups showing leaders in Boy Scout work who live in San Angelo. They will be presented each Monday, and it would hope all Scout leaders in the city will be included. 25-year veteran. That's going to be a hard one to find.
Yeah. This is Bobby Broadway, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, that's
yeah.
Miss Broadway, you know, worked down at the scout officer along her,
yes.
One of her boys. We had two of her boys that were in the troop.
Each Monday, this is a leader each Monday in standard time. Oh, this is going to be 25-year veteran J.T. Henderson. C.A. McDonald's, 27 years. Camp staff, Camp Lewis Farr, 7 years, and camp director for 3 years. The old Silver Beaver Award, got master's key. All right, that'll help. I'll be able to at least get back to McDonald and see when he got his Silver Beaver. That'll give me at least some time frame, because this would have been after he got his Silver Beaver Award.
Seemed like to me, this is one of the pictures they used when they were interviewing me and another guy that were leaders here for the Girl Scout troops.
Yes.
Which was about in the 50s. I can't remember the date.
Now this is interesting. Is an Eagles, this is on you, J.T. Henderson, 25-year veteran and Boy Scout and Scoutmaster for the 115-member Troop 1 in San Angelo. Henderson attended national jamborees in 53, 57, and 60. Mm-hmm. Count among his scouting honors, 3 years as a senior patrol leader, scribe, art of the air, training committee, explorer advisor, merit badge counselor, is an Eagle Scout, and here's what's interesting, and has won the Silver Award of the Cunier Society. Now, what in the world was the Silver Award of the Cunier Society?
The Silver Award, I got the Silver Award in exploring. The Cuniers, you remember, were like the Art of the Arrow?
Yeah.
They had that back in when I was in Scouts, and it was a lot of it was based on the Art of the Arrow. You went out and spent the night, you know, and they branded you with a black diamond right on your forehead, and you had to go out and I never will forget Ralph Logan and John Logan and I were camped together, and you had to keep the fire going all night and make your vows, you know, and do that kind of stuff. But that was the Cunier Society.
Okay, this was after night. Well, it didn't say you were a vigil member, does it?
No.
It was sometime between 1960 and 1960.